And boy, howdy, we got a good one for us this morning.
Doesn't Matthew realize that I'm only in my first month of being a pastor? Can he cut me a break here? Because that would be nice. Could cut us a little slack, it seems. But rather, let's lean into it, I guess. Let's lean into this text together. Because I'm willing to bet that for many of you, just like for me, there were a number of elements in this gospel passage that made our ears prick up a little bit. Maybe made us sit a little straighter in our seats this morning. So let's take a look. Let's see what is at work in Jesus's parable today. Following last week's parable about the sower going out to sow, this week, Jesus stays in the same genre of storytelling and tells a tale of two seeds. In last week's parable, Jesus discussed that there were better or worse places for the sown seeds to fall. But this week, he makes a distinction between the seeds themselves. It starts for him with a farmer going out to sow the good seed of wheat in his fields. Yet things almost immediately take a turn for the worse after the farmer tending to his fields goes to sleep that night. In this time of unknowing, in this time of vulnerability, his fields are sabotaged by an enemy who comes and plants weeds all across those same fields. It's not until the next morning that the slaves of the field owner come to him and tell him what it is that has taken place. Despite the terrible reality of slavery still present in first century Mediterranean world and present in this parable, these individuals help their master and suggest that they go out and uproot the invasive weeds sooner rather than later. Yet the field owner, recognizing the intricate level of interconnectedness between these plants, this wheat and these weeds taking root, he knows that to remove one would destroy the other. Instead, the owner suggests waiting until the harvest time, when they can reap both the good produce and the weeds together, and sort them out after the fact, thus avoiding any potential harm to the good seed he sought to cultivate. Just as with the last parable, it takes Jesus once again explicitly spelling things out to his disciples for them to really get what is taking place here. As Jesus explains, the good seeds planted are those set into the world by the Son of Man, while the weeds are those fallen into evil and sin and brokenness, the product of the devil's hand. Thus, the harvest taking place becomes the Son of Man's reign of judgment, when he will send his angels to distinguish between the two, collecting up the children of God out of evil and sending evil into the furnace, to the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. It's a harsh message. It's a harsh outcome, this weeping and gnashing of teeth. Moreover, thanks to our sensationalized fictions, think the Left Behind series, it's passages like this that make us ask all sorts of uncomfortable questions. For example, we ask, what will this day look like for us? Who is going to be sown in which direction? When is this day coming? They're natural lines of questioning after being presented with such an image from Jesus. On the other hand, perhaps this message gives some conviction rather than questions. After all, it's easy to hear these words from Jesus and then to look out into the world around us with new eyes. Such a parable as this could make it easy for us to feel empowered to cutting ourselves off from others. If we can identify ourselves as the good seeds and the others as the weeds of the evil one, then we can look and say that one day they'll get what's coming. When Jesus returns, they'll reap what they've sown. The problem, however, is that both lines of thinking ultimately miss the mark of Jesus' parable. For Jesus, this isn't a story to serve as a guideline or itinerary to mark the timing and agenda of his return, nor is it intended as a means of inaugurating that day for ourselves. It's not about us determining for ourselves the good from the bad seeds in this world. You know, I can remember growing up that whenever my brother or sister would get into trouble, I would try my darndest to figure out what they'd done. Yet every time my mom caught me snooping, she would tell me the exact same thing. It's not for you to worry about. I think it's much the same that's going on here. Trying to distinguish between the good seeds of wheat and the weeds, it's not for us to worry about. After all, we already know that this is a determination left to the field owner. It's left to the Son of Man alone. Instead, I think Jesus' parable offers to us a vision of what is to happen in the meantime. See, the major turn in Jesus' parable comes when the slaves slash angels come to the field owner slash Son of Man and ask if he would like them to go out into the field in order to remove this invasive species. Apparently discerning a relationship invisible to these working hands, the owner makes it clear that now is not the time to separate these interconnected plants. To uproot one, even the unwanted one, would inherently harm the other. Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God, then, this parable offers to us a guiding principle of how the world continues to work until Christ comes again. As Isaiah articulates for us this morning, we already know that this field owner, this Son of Man, is intrinsically and inherently connected to the God who is the first and the last. We know that this is the Christ who was with God in the beginning and whom we confess will come again to judge the living and the dead. It turns out, however, that there is a great deal of time taking place between these two events. And as we wait between them, this parable offers to us an image of what life will be like in the meantime. Because we know that just as there were weeds planted alongside the good seeds, we live in a messy and a complicated world. Moreover, we know how to name it as such. And we know how to recognize that messiness both around and within each of us. In fact, it is a messiness that we are, at least for the time being, inseparable from. Yet this is a parable that comes with the promise of God as well. The promise that whatever your worry may be amidst such messiness, because of Christ, you've already been taken care of. Indeed, as Paul says, we have been adopted as heirs with Christ. Our inheritance from God is in a hope that we are already rescued from such messiness. We might recognize the groans and pains that Paul sees in the world, but ours is an inheritance that will see us through it. See, the parable of this sower recognizes that things aren't necessarily the way things should be. It gives us caution, and it recognizes that there may be those around us who don't have our best interests at heart. There may even be those weeds who are robbing us of a more abundant life in Christ. Yet this same parable recognizes that in some way we are nevertheless joined with all those around us. It is not our place to cut them off or to cut them out. We share an existence that is more connected than we can ever know. Nevertheless, it's an existence that is held in the hands of our Redeemer,
the Lord of hosts, the one who is and is yet to come. Through this Son of Man, we are made heirs into that inheritance. In the meantime, though, we are in the world. We are called to live even amongst the weeds, knowing that we are rooted in the one who sees us all through from beginning to end. Thanks be to God. Amen.